The Christian Complete Armor by William Grinnell. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17b. Chapter 14. Wherein it is shown how victorious the sword over the seducer and heretic the Word of God is. The seducer is another enemy the Christian hath to cope with, and no less dangerous than the other. Nay, in this respect, far more formidable. The persecutor can kill only the body, but the seducer comes to poison the soul. Better to be slain outright by a sword than to be taken alive, as the apostle phrases it. In this snare of the devil, which these whom he sends forth privily lay where they are often least suspected. When Paul fell into the hands of the persecutor, he could glory and rejoice that he had escaped the latter. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. 2 Timothy 4, verses 7 and 8. See how this holy man triumphs and flourishes his colors, as if the field were fought and a day won. Whereas, good man, he was now going to lay his head on the block under the hand of bloody Nero, as you may perceive. Verse 6. I am now ready to be offered up. Alluding to the kind of death, it is likely, he was shortly to undergo. But you will say, what great cause, then, had he to cry Victoria, when his affairs were in such a desperate condition? This made him triumph. He hath kept the faith, and that was 1,000 times more joy and comfort to him than the laying down his life was a trouble. If he had left the faith by cowardice, or chosen instead of it after any false doctrine, he had lost his soul by losing that. But having kept the faith, he knew that he did but part with his life to receive a better at God's hands than was taken from him by man's. The locust mentioned, Romans chapter 9, verse 3, which Mr. Meda, that's M-E-D-E, takes to be the capital S-A-R-A-C-E-N-S, who were so great a scourge and plague to the Roman world newly Christianized, in parenthesis, we find they had tails like unto scorpions, and there were stings in their tails, verse 10, which that learned writer interprets to be their cursed Mohammedan doctrine, with which they poisoned the souls wherever their conquering sword came. It seems, though the sword of war in the hand of a bloody enemy be a heavy judgment to a people, yet the propagation of cursed errors is a greater. This is the sting in the tail of that judgment. I do not doubt but many that were godly might fall by the sword of that enemy in such a general calamity. But only those that were not among God's sealed ones felt the sting in their tail by being poisoned with their cursed imposture, and therefore they alone are said to be hurt by them. Verse 4. We may be cut off by an enemy's sword and not be hurt, but we may drink of their false doctrine and say so. Now the word of God is the sword, whereby the soul enables the saints to defend themselves against this enemy, yea, to rout and ruin the sceptral band of Satan. We read of Apollos, Acts chapter 18, verse 28, that he mightily convinced the Jews. He did, as it were, knock them down with the weight of reasoning, and out of that armory fetched he the sword with which he so prevailed. See the same verse. Showing by the Scriptures that Jesus was Christ, and therefore is said to be mighty in the Scriptures, verse 24. A mighty man of valor, and so expert, thorough his excellent knowledge in them, that the erroneous Jews could no more stand before him, holding the sword in his hand, than a child with a wooden dagger can against a giant formidably armed with killing weapons. When Paul warns Timothy to stand upon his defense carefully against seducers, he devises no better counsel how he might keep out of their hands than sending him to the Scriptures and bidding him shut himself up within these. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned, 2 Timothy 3:14. And in the next verse he shows what lesson he means that he had learned by telling them that from a child he had known the Holy Scriptures, which were able to make him wise unto salvation, and by consequence wiser than all his enemies, if he stuck close to them. Other arms we may load ourselves with by tumbling over many authors, but he that hath hit this sword, and hath been taught of the Scripture the use of this weapon, is provided well to meet the stoutest champion for error, which the devil hath on his side. With this, poor women have been able to disarm great doctors of their studied arguments, defeating all their art and logic in one plain place of Scripture, as she who killed Amalek, the great commander, by tumbling a piece of millstone on his head. Out of this armory came those weapons, Paul tells us, are so mighty through God, casting down imaginations or reasonings, by which an ancient will hath the great philosopher's symbolism to be met. Indeed, he that hath the word on his side, and a holy skill to use it, hath as much advantage of his adversary that comes with other armor, let him be never so good a fencer, as a man with a good sword hath over him, that comes forth only with a bulrush in his hand. All error dreads the light of the word, and fears more to be examined by that than a thief does to be tried before a strict judge. Unfold them, and bring them and the word face to face, and like Cain, they hang down their head, they are put to shame. This is the only certain ordeal to try suspected opinions at. If they can walk upon this fierce law unhurt, unreproved, they may safely pass for truths and none else. Paul tells us some that will not endure sound doctrine. 2 Timothy 4:3. Alas, how should they, when their minds are not sound? It is too searching for them. Gouty feet cannot go but on a soft way, which generally yields to them. Such must have a doctrine that will comply with their humor, which the word will not, but rather judge them. And this they think it will do too soon at the great day. Therefore, now they shun it, lest it should torment them before their time. Thus the Quakers have their skulking hole, to which they run from the Scripture, at whose bar they know their opinion would be cast, and therefore appeal to another, a light within them, or in plain English, their natural conscience, a judge, which is known too well to be corrupt and easily bribed, to speak with the lust of men will often have him do. Ah, poor creatures, what a sad change have they made to leave the word that is an inflexible rule of faith, which can no more deceive them than God himself, to trust the guidance of themselves to themselves. A more ignorant, unfaithful guide the devil could not have chosen for them. He that is his own teacher, saith Bernard, is sure to have a fool for his master. God himself by Solomon saith, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. Proverbs 12:15. But he most wise makes the word of God the man of his counsel. The papist has his thicket and wood at his back also. Antiquity and traditions, to which he flies before the face of the Scripture for sanctuary, as Adam did to a bush when God came to him, as if any iniquity were so authenticate as God's own oracles, and any traditions of men were to be laid in the balance of the Scripture. No, to name no more the capital S-O-C-I-N-I-N, folds himself up in his own proud reason, and assumes such state, that the sense of Scripture might be reconciled to his reason, and not his reason bent to the Scripture. He must have a religion and Scripture that fits the model which his own reason draws, or he will have neither. The root of many precious errors and heretics, like those of whom Tertullian speaks, who want the philosopher's forge to shape a Christianity. What is this but to carry gold to be weighed in the chandler's scales, and to look for the sun by the light of the moon? A modern divine saith, most heresies have sprung either from pride, ignorance, or the Sophia of reason. The last of which seems to be the root in which Paul observes some to have split. Some professing have erred concerning the faith, 2 Timothy 6:21. And therefore so affectionately exhorts Timothy to keep off this dangerous shore and steer his course by the word, verse 20. O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, etc. And for this which is here committed to him, I take for the form of sound words. He exhorts him to hold fast in the second epistle, chapter 1:13. Object. But we see heretics quote scripture for their most prodigious errors and draw the sword for their defense as well as the orthodox. How then is it such a powerful instrument against error? Answer. What will not men of subtle heads, corrupt hearts, and bold faces dare to do for carrying on their wicked party, when once they have espoused an error or any sinful way? Korah and his ungodly company dare give out that the Lord is among them, and they have as much to do with the priesthood as Aaron himself, on whom the holy oil was poured, Numbers chapter 16, verse 13. And Zedekiah, that arch flatterer, fears not to father his lie on the God of truth himself, 1 Kings 22, verse 11. He made him horns of iron, and said, Thus saith the Lord, With these thou shalt push the Syrians until thou hast consumed them. Whereas God never spoke such a word. It is no marvel, then, to see any lay their bastard brats at God's door and cry, They have Scripture on their side. By this imprudency, they may observe, abuse, credit souls into a belief of what they say, as a cheater may pick the purses of ignorant people by showing them something like the king's broad seal, which was his own forgery. Yea, God may suffer them to seduce others of more raised parts and understanding as a just judgment on them for rebelling against the light of their own conscience. As Pharaoh, by the false miracles of the magicians, was set further from compelling with Moses, and those of the anti-Christian faction, 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 10 and 11, who, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved, for this cause God sends them strong delusions that they should believe a lie. But sincere souls that search humbly for truth, and have no other design in their inquiry after it, but that they may know the will of God and obey it, they should find upon their faithful prayers to God a light most clear, shining from the Scripture, to guide them safe from those pitfalls of fatal errors into which others fall, towards whom the dark side of this cloud stands. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments. Psalms 111, verse 10. The fox, when hard put to it, will fall in supply with the dogs, and hunt with them as one of their company. But then his strong scent, which he cannot leave behind him, betrays him. Thus heretics, to shelter their errors, will crowd them in among scripture truths, and by their false grosses make them seem to be of their company. But they cannot so perfume their rotten opinions. But their rank scent and savior will be melted and discerned by those who have their senses exercised. A heretic can reap no advantage by an appeal to the Scripture. What Christ saith in another case, Matthew chapter 26, verse 52, All they that take the sword shall perish by the sword, is the most true of all heretics. They are confounded and confuted by that very sword of the word which they lifted up to defend themselves. End of chapter 14.